Proverbs 11, verse 12, and we'll read through verse 19. He who is devoid of wisdom despises his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his peace. The talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. Where there is no counsel, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. He who is surety for a stranger will suffer. The one who hates being surety is secure. A gracious woman retains honor, but ruthless men retain riches. The merciful man does good for his own soul, but he who is cruel troubles his own flesh. The wicked man does deceptive work, but he who sows righteousness will have a sure reward. As righteousness leads to life, so he who pursues evil pursues it to his own death. We're in a section in Proverbs that focuses in on our, encourages us to consider our future. What is your future going to be like? What's coming around the next corner for you? What's coming in a few years for you? What's coming in the next decades for you? And ultimately, of course, what's coming in eternity for you? And the Lord calls on us to consider well our ways and to consider our path and to see where is it that we are directed. And specifically, today's passage points us to a consideration of our security. Is our future secure? Now, as we come to this passage, of course, we want to acknowledge first and foremost that our security, our future security, is tied up in the Lord. And of course, we talk about eternal security and knowing that in Christ that our eternity is secure, not just our today, not just our tomorrow, but we talk about the perseverance of the saints and our confidence that the Lord will take care of us. And we sing in the Psalms, "My trust is in the Lord." We sing in the Psalms, "In chariots some boast confidence, and on their horses some rely, but we boast only one defense, the name of God, the Lord Most High." And we've just sung in Psalm 112, "When he hears disturbing news, he will not be afraid. His heart is fixed, his confidence upon the Lord is stayed." And so our confidence as we face the future is first and foremost based on the Lord and on what he's done for us and on the work of Christ and the fact that our sin is atoned for. But the book of Proverbs, remember, also points us to life in the covenant community, life within the covenant. So how do we live under this umbrella of eternal security? And so it encourages us here to consider well our ways and where does security come from for us in this life. Also remember that the book of Proverbs wants us to realize that means are not divorced from ends. Or to put it another way, what you do today is not divorced from the way that things turn out in your life. And so it calls us to evaluate how it is that you are living. And are the ways that you are living and conducting yourself, do they lead to even security and a place of standing in this life? As, to put it in the language of the book of Ecclesiastes, we might say we're called to live under heaven. Right? So how do we live each day in light of eternity? How do we live today in light of this security that God has given to us? How do we have security for our future? Well, the concept of security is, of course, always a timely topic because people struggle a lot with insecurity. Wikipedia, which is always a good source, tells us that insecurity is a feeling of general unease or nervousness that may be triggered by perceiving oneself to be vulnerable in some way. A person who is insecure lacks confidence in their own value, and one or more of their capabilities lacks trust in themselves or others, or has fears that present a positive, that a present positive state is temporary. Right, so there's insecurity can come from the fact that, yeah, I'm doing well now, but I don't think it's going to last, and will let them down and cause them loss or distress by going wrong in the future. This is a common trait. Insecurity is a common trait, which only differs in degree between people. It's actually a helpful summary as we think about insecurity. It talks about the fact that insecurity is really a sense of vulnerability. And then there's the helpful acknowledgement there that all of us face insecurities. Whatever point you're at in life, whether you're a little child and wondering, who, you know, will I have friends? How will I do in school? What will my future be like? Where will I work? Whatever, all those sorts of things. Who will I marry? Or if we're older, how will I take care of my family? Will I live long enough to provide for my family? What's going to happen to my children? And we can think about even later in life, insecurities. Think about Gene struggling with what's going to happen to me when I don't remember anymore. When I can't remember who I am, how will I know that I'm okay? When I can't think for myself anymore, I've always thought for myself, then what happens to me? And so there can be a lot of insecurities at various stages of life. And the reality is that every person in this room, right now, this morning, has things in your life that make you insecure, that make you unsure of yourself. And so this is a topic that is timely for all of us. Now, to summarize what Proverbs is pointing us to in this area of insecurity, one of the summary statements is that if you're in rebellion against God in any area of your life, you should feel insecure because your place is insecure. The scripture talks about standing on a slippery slope as opposed to, you know, we've sung a psalm this morning that talks about having my feet settled on the ground. So if you're living in rebellion against God, your future is in fact insecure. But the flip side, of course, of these Proverbs, remember, in the Proverbs, when we find a negative statement, generally the positive is true. So if the future is insecure for the wicked, the correlating truth then is that the future is secure for the righteous. And so find security, people of God, by pursuing righteousness in your life. There are three specific areas in the reading that we've just done where we're encouraged to pursue righteousness. And three specific ways that God encourages you to pursue security. Now, just at the outset, let me say that this sermon and that this passage that we've just read is not the final and complete word on insecurity. These three areas that we're going to deal with this morning, you may say, well, those aren't really the areas that I predominantly struggle with insecurity. And that's fine. And maybe at the back door today, you want to come up and say, Pastor, I'd like to have another sermon on insecurity. And why don't you dig up some passages on this type of insecurity? That would be really helpful to me. And maybe we can do that. But recognize that there are principles here in terms of these three areas of insecurity that can help us deal with other insecurities in our lives as well. And also, even if these three areas aren't your primary areas of insecurity, I think that each that these will resonate with you. At least one of the three will resonate as something that causes some insecurity for you. First area of insecurity is the area of unfaithful friends. Or to put it positively, we're called in verses 12 and 13 to pursue faithful companions. Look at those verses. See how unfaithful friends or bad friends lead us to insecurity. Verse 12, he who is devoid of wisdom despises his neighbor. And verse 13, a talebearer reveals secrets. Isn't that true? If we're hanging out with, say, people with an explosive personality, if that's who we're friends with, we never know really where we stand. We don't know what the next day is going to be like. We don't know what the next 5 minutes are going to be like, because you never know what to expect out of that person. He who is devoid of wisdom despises his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his peace. Right? The man who is devoid of wisdom shows that he despises it. He lets the hatred that's in his heart, the things that he thinks about his neighbor, he just lets them spew out of his mouth and rips his neighbor to shreds. The man without wisdom is prideful. He looks down on his neighbor and he enlarges his neighbor's faults instead of being somebody who minimizes faults and tries to overlook and love faults. He makes them bigger than life and so deserving of his wrath and anger so that he can explode. And so his despising of others comes out in his hateful treatment of them. If you have friends like this, then you know how insecure you can feel at times. What's going to happen in this relationship? The other type of friend who leads to insecurity is having friends who reveal secrets. You know, the reality is, if you're friends with somebody who is telling you secrets about other people all the time, you can rest assured that they're revealing your secrets to other people as well. And that can lead us to a lot of insecurity. When we're friends with people who have inside information on us that we really don't mean for the general public to consume of. And so we can struggle in those circumstances. And so what we see in verses 12 and 13 is, if you have bad friends, you should be feeling insecure, because your future is insecure. Instead, what we're called to pursue here is, both in our own character and in the people who we would hang out with, is people who are Christ-like friends. People who are not quick to anger. Who are not quick to overblow and to overemphasize faults. But people who know how to hold in their tongue. Who know how to hold in their wrath. People who know how to keep a secret about us. We need friends who have a faithful spirit. My boys went to a birthday party last summer, and there's a line that was uttered at this birthday party that's been repeated numerous times in our house, but that kind of represents verse 13. One of the boys at this party said to about the birthday boy that he's been faithful to the birthday boy all his days. Now, then our boys immediately noted times in the next 5 minutes when he was not such a good friend to the birthday boy. But that was his claim, that he's been faithful all his days. Well, maybe that young man does not exemplify what we're looking for in a faithful friend. But the reality is that we need to seek relationships with those who will be faithful to us, Those who will be faithful to encourage us in righteousness, who will be faithful to speak difficult things into our life in a gentle, loving way. Faithful friends who will have our back when people are criticizing us, when people want to backstab us. People who, when people try to backstab us, won't go along with it and say, well, actually, you don't know the half of it. Let me tell you even how much worse that person is than what you think they are. We need to pursue faithful friends. Friends who know how to hold their peace, who know how to look for the right timing, how to be patient with us, even when they're offended with us, even when they're frustrated with us. And friends who are discreet and reliable. So if you're struggling with insecurity this morning, one place that you might be struggling with insecurity might be because of the friends who you have picked. And because you picked friends who you can't really trust. And so, in order to find security, seek good friendships. Friendships with faithful spirits. With, isn't that movie Anna Green Gables? Doesn't she talk about kindred spirits or something like that? Look for kindred spirits. But, also of course, we need to look to be faithful friends as well. Right? I mean, not only are we put here, not only is God wanting to bless us with personal security, but He wants to use the covenant community so that we bring security to one another as well. So all the things that we've just said about who you want in a friend, try to be that kind of a person in your friendships as well. Well, faithful companions can bring security to us. In addition, careful consideration can bring security to us. The next two verses, where there is no counsel, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. He who is surety for a stranger will suffer, but he who hates being surety is secure. What's this teaching us? This is teaching us that quick, foolish decisions lead to insecurity. Right? When you don't think through what you're doing, then, yeah, it makes sense that you feel a little insecure about it. It shouldn't be surprising to us that if we walk around blindfolded through life, that we might feel a little insecure about where our feet are going and where we are. Did I just stumble out into traffic or not? If we wander through life blindfolded in the way that we make decisions, then in a sense we should be worried. And that comes up, of course, in two ways. There's the man who gets no counsel in verse 14. And if there's no counsel, there's a guarantee of a fall. And then verse 15, your surety for a stranger will suffer. The person who will, the person who is willing to back up the loan of somebody they've never even met, if I stake my future, my financial future, my well-being to somebody I've never even talked to, that I hardly even know, and I'm willing to sign on the dotted line that, if this guy doesn't pay up, I'll pay. Well, then, if I do things like that, then I should be worried. I should feel insecure about my future. So what this is calling us to is, first of all, the security comes from having the willingness to seek counsel and to surround ourselves with godly counselors and to listen and to recognize that we don't see everything about our own situation, that we don't understand everything there is to know about the world. Once again, it's Proverbs telling us, be good listeners. And a good listener not only is willing to listen, but he's willing to ask the questions of other people, even when he might not like the answers. You know, I'd like to go out and buy this really expensive sports car tomorrow. But I'm going to get some counsel on that. Maybe you're going to take a look at my finances and say, well, you know, you can do this, but your family's going to need a new van before too long. You better not blow all the money on the new sports car, right? And maybe I don't want to hear that kind of advice, so I just don't ask for counsel. So there's got to be humility to seek counsel and to listen to counsel. There also is the responsibility here to be deliberate and to slow down and to make good decisions. But in essence, we're being called here to be thinking Christians, not just to fly by the seat of our pants, but to ponder and consider. The pathway of faith is not the pathway of flightiness. Faith does not mean that we don't think. It doesn't mean that we don't evaluate the future. It doesn't mean that we just go through life saying, everything's going to turn out perfect no matter what I do. It means that we carefully consider the future and make good decisions. And the reality is that many insecure people, first of all, pursue terrible relationships. And many insecure people make terrible decisions that only further their insecurity. And we can think about our own decisions that we make and realize that there's room for more wisdom, more counselors in our decisions. And so seek security through what we might term as faith-based decisions. And what I mean by faith-based decisions is none of us knows the future. Right? So we can't make decisions based on knowing what the outcome of a decision will be. But we can, by faith, trust the means that God's appointed to making good decisions. Using our brains, using our counselors, using the time that God's given us to consider carefully. And then, once we've done that, we can go forward in faith saying, I've been diligent to use the means that God's given me, and so I can rest in this decision that God will use it and that God will bless me in the way that He's led me to decide. All right, so we're looking to find security, to shore up our insecurities, and we're looking to do that, first of all, by forming good friendships, secondly, by having careful consideration, right, by thinking through the decisions that we make, not being flippant about it, working through things. Thirdly, we're called to pursue godly character. Some of our insecurities in this life come as a result of major holes in who we are, inconsistencies between our profession and our life. And so we're insecure maybe because we're concerned that people actually find out who we really are. Another way in which we find ourselves being insecure through our character deficiencies is that often when we struggle with insecurity, we think that the solution to our insecurity is to be more self-focused. I need to do more for me. I'm the one who's having trouble, so I need to shore up my own foundations. It's interesting that in verses 16 through 18, that's not the focus at all. The focus in these verses on finding security is on being more generous, more merciful, more righteous, more gracious in our dealings with other people. So instead of the focus being on me, 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 we actually find that the me, me, me focus lends itself to insecurity. If my focus is on my riches, well, then I'm stuck seeing the smallness of my riches and the temporary nature of my riches and knowing that it all could go up in smoke. If my security comes from the way that I trample down other people, verse 17, he was cruel. You know, I think I can get ahead. I can get more secure by trampling down other people, by verse 16, being ruthless in my dealings with them, in the way I treat people. I'll be cruel and ruthless. Oh no, you've just made yourself more insecure, not more secure. And then some people think that they can get ahead by verse 18, doing deceptive work. Right? Doing shoddy work. I'll get ahead this way. Maybe I'll sell a less than perfect product. I'll sell something that has all sorts of deficiencies. I'll turn in assignments that have major holes in them. You know, whatever it is, I can get away with trying to not study as much as I ought to. Once again, you know, if you're doing deceptive work, if you're cruel to others, you know what's going to happen? It's going to catch up with you. And so, once again, just like if you're choosing the wrong friends, you should feel insecure. If you're operating according to the wicked character of these verses, you should be feeling insecure as well. Because it's not going to last. It's going to be temporary. Instead, security, verse 16, comes from being gracious and having a lasting, in verse 16, there's a great contrast there between lasting wealth, lasting honor and value, as opposed to that which is temporary, of status gained through grace versus status gained through brute force. And notice especially, there's a particular contrast here that's being pointed out that would have been more striking to their culture than to ours. The gracious woman, the kind woman, can hold her place in the society, whereas the strong man loses his. And that, in a society where men always have the upper hand, it's just throwing that kind of logic right out the window. That the ruthless strong man loses his standing, whereas the gracious woman will retain hers. Verse 17, we see again, the merciful man. The person who's caring for other people, who's ministering to others, who's bending over backwards, inconveniencing himself to take care of other people. Well, our natural thinking would be what? If you're using your effort on other people, that makes you more insecure, right? You don't have as much energy to put into your own concerns and your own needs. But no, the exact opposite is true. That the person who is merciful, actually, who gets blessed the most? He blesses his own soul when he's merciful. One of the upshots in verse 17 is that insecure people, their problem is not that they are not self-focused enough. The problem is they aren't others-focused enough. And those, if you're struggling with insecurity, one of the things that you need to do is get outside yourself and find places to minister, find people to be merciful to, and do good to your own soul by being a blessing to others. Verse 18, those who are insecure are insecure because they're doing deceptive work. Instead, of course, do good work. Sow righteousness in all the areas of life. Do good work even when no one is watching. And so one of the ways that we can deal with our insecurity is by dealing with who we really are, so that if it gets exposed who we really are, we don't have anything to be afraid of. And so we deal with our insecurity by pursuing good friendships, by pursuing right and good thinking, clear thinking on decisions, and by pursuing good character. Insecurity for all of us can come from a variety of things. But it can certainly come from who I'm hanging out with, with the things I am deciding and who I really am at my core. And it seems that even though there are other areas of insecurity for us, that if that for all of us, at least one of these three areas is an area where we find ourselves feeling insecure because we've surrounded ourselves maybe with the wrong kind of people. Maybe we've made foolish decisions without getting counsel. Maybe we're a person inside and in the way that we behave that we're really embarrassed about and we wouldn't want other people to know about. And so the call of this passage is to pursue security by pursuing the advice given here in these regards. And to bring this full circle, to bring it back to where we started, which was that our real security comes from the Lord. The reality is that Christ died so that you might have security. Christ died so that you might live in community with other believers. And so that you might have, Christ died so that you would have friends who deal graciously with you and don't backstab you. Right? Christ died so that we can be members of a body of believers who love one another and take care of each other and are concerned for each other. Christ died for you so you might have wisdom, so that your thoughts might be conformed to His thoughts, so you might have His words, so you might live in such a way and make decisions in such a way that you don't have to second guess them all the time, but that you can trust His leading and His care for you. And Christ died so that you might grow in grace and might grow in the likeness of Jesus Christ. So that more and more that we can stand and say, as we sang in Psalm 26, Lord, I've walked in integrity. Lord, judge me, examine me. I'm not embarrassed about who I am because You have, Lord, through Your grace, You've built good character into my life. You've made me more and more righteous. You've shown me the path of life. God's desire for you is that you would be secure eternally, but also that you would experience security in this life as well. And Christ died to that end, so that we might be secure in our relationships, secure in our decisions, and secure in who we are as well. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You that Christ has come that we might have life and have it abundantly. And Lord, we thank You that that the life that You give to us is not only eternal life, not only life in the future, but that You give us a secure life now. And so, Lord, we pray that we would trust You to give us that life. And Lord, we pray that we would show our faith in You by using the means that You have given to us. Lord, we pray for those areas of insecurity in our lives that we might pursue security through your means, and that we would find grace from you to help in our insecurities. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.